great pleasure to be sitting here with Sally Alada. How are you doing, Sally?
I'm doing great. Craig, how are you?
Good, thank you, Sally. So you're the president of Agile Transformation and the founder of the Agility Health Radar.
Yes, I am.
So tell us a little more about Agility Health Radar.
Sure, yeah. So we created Agility Health a few years back when we realized that through our transformations, it became hard for us to answer the question, how are all the teams doing? Where do they need help? Are they mature? What's the ROI of this transformation? Companies are spending millions of dollars and can't get the metrics behind, is this really making a difference? So it's kind of our attempt to make all that mushy stuff measurable and actionable. And so our passion really is to help teams, programs, portfolios measure where they are today and then grow in a very continuous fashion, enabling that growth mindset that we've all been talking about, right? So there's one thing to say growth mindset, and it's another thing to actually do it every quarter and invest in growth.
Yeah, and you do that by essentially getting the team together as a retrospective, correct? And it,
yes.
And it helps them talk about the things they need to do to both grow and fix moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. So we have different than the there's sprint level or iteration level retrospectives, which are what we call tactical retrospectives. They're really meant for the team to look at the last 2 weeks. What are we doing in the next 2 weeks or in that cadence? We have the team health retrospective, which is more of a strategic. It happens once a quarter or at the end of, let's say they're doing 10-week PIs if they're doing SAFE, or they're releasing every 10 weeks, every 12 weeks. It's at the end of that is when they should kind of pause. They do a demo to their product owners, and then they pause and check on their team health and develop a plan for growth for the next quarter. So the radar just kind of helps them have a conversation. It's really a welcoming to have a conversation around these areas and then gain consensus and build a plan around growth.
So the radar's been out for a while, and I guess getting together for a retrospective conversation is pretty well understood, but what does the team do next after you've had a couple of these retrospectives? Where do you go?
Yeah, so one of the challenges we've recently been faced with is not every Agile team has a coach. So the typical path is that a team does this, and let's say they have their Agile coach with them, and it's honestly the fastest way for an Agile coach to see how the team's doing and where they can help them and add value. And so if it's a perfect world, the Agile coach builds a growth plan, and they provide training and coaching across the teams for the areas that they needed. But what we realize is there's the ratio between Agile coaches and teams is like 1 to 100. Like, it's just there's not enough coaches out there. So that is why we built the Growth Portal. It's one of our new releases this year. And the Growth Portal is so that the team, after they look at their radar, especially if I don't have a coach, they can click on any of the competencies that they're not doing well, and they can learn how to grow. So there is, the Growth Portal is very, think of it as a knowledge base of what does healthy look like, what does unhealthy. There will be recommendations. There's recommendations directly from Agility Health. There's recommendations from other teams within the company. And there's recommendations from their own Agile experts, their own coaches. So it becomes a way to scale coaching and to scale that knowledge. They'll also be able to watch short videos from Agile experts from around the world. Download resources, cheat sheets, documents, blogs, go to training, so whatever training relates to that. And my favorite is the book time with your favorite coach. So at the bottom, if they kind of go through all of that and still don't get it and still don't, you know, they still need help and they need somebody to be there, there's a visual, a really attractive visual of all the coaches that are available, and you can book time and request them.
What's an example of something, if I've got the team radar and I'm having an issue with one particular aspect of it, what do I expect to see?
Sure. There's three different things that we're finding teams are struggling with. It's either Agile related. So it's either estimating, planning, story writing, backlog management, role, lack of clarity on roles. And that's really where the Agile coaches, you know, could be pulled in, and you could request a coach to come and help you. Or you can learn on your own, right? Some things you need a coach, some things you can learn. So any of those that I mentioned could be an issue that they saw. Some of the other issues that we've seen are technical. So it could be that they have environmental issues. They don't do TDD, unit testing. They're struggling from a technical practices. And, you know, not every Agile coach is a technical coach. So that's where you really want to see that's why we're excited about the idea of showing profiles of the coaches, because we want to distinguish between this is a technical coach, this is an Agile coach. And then the third one is leadership and management. So allocation and stability. You're pulling people in and out of the team. You need to stabilize them for me. or we have some personnel issues. I mean, and the personnel issues don't come as much in the radar, but those require leadership support. So this is where I really want to give it to a manager and say, look, there's some things here. The fourth one that's newer, teams, it kind of shows up a little bit more above the teams, is design thinking. So this is where the team, whatever they're working on, is actually not valuable. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been thought through very well, and we're not engaging with the customer. Teams are not finding these yet. How it shows up in the radar is they don't know how to measure the value of what they're producing. So one level above the team at the program level, that's where you need a lean product coach.
Mm-hmm. And so is the idea that I see these resources in the growth portal, I experiment with something in my team, and then the idea of the next time I do my next retrospective that I should see a change
in
the positive direction?
Yes, you will. Yeah, you'll be able to look at what we call the growth journey, and the growth journey is really a timeline view of by what percent have you improved. People say, well, that's why do we need metrics? I think these metrics matter. I mean, if you've invested your time and energy in improving something, visually seeing that it's actually improved, being able to share that, and then also share that story, whatever your experiment was, whatever you did, with Agility Health now, we have you track it against what you were trying to improve. Another team that's struggling with the same exact problem, Greg, can now leverage that idea. Mm. To me, that's hugely powerful. We need to create a knowledge base that's going to continue to grow from the knowledge of the teams and the knowledge of the experts and the coaches and what people are doing. So to me now, teams within the company can help each other.
Mm. Then you have your own coaches, essentially, from things that they've experimented with and learned from.
Yeah, it's I want to learn from coaches, but I don't have enough coaches. So what have other teams also done? I think people just want to be empowered to choose. So show me what the coaches are recommending, show me what Agility Health is recommending, but show me what other teams internally have done, because they might have come up with a really cool idea that I want to try, and then allow the teams to pick what they want to do. Now, again, all this is irrelevant if you have an embedded coach working with you, awesome. But the growth portal was really created for what we call low-touch teams, the ones that people are not getting to, there's no coaching capacity, they don't have funding for coaching. That kind of gives you another bit. You wouldn't use WebMD if you have a doctor sitting there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? So if you've got the doctor there, use the doctor. But for some of us that don't have a doctor, I'm going to go check real quickly what WebMD tells me to do. And that's just sort of what we're creating.
I might still use WebMD as a second opinion, though. So I guess I could use the growth portal for that as well.
You could, yeah.
What else is new? I see you have some new radars.
Yes.
Available.
Somebody stopped by our booth and said, are your radars breeding? And I said, yes, they're happily breeding more. We have the Business Agility Health Radar, and that is an organizational level assessment that a group of leaders, transformation leaders, would come together and leverage to check on the health of their transformation. And so the dimensions that we have here, these are all of the dimensions for business. And again, business agility for us is when you're taking the transformation and the mindset of agility beyond IT, right? It's kind of going beginning to end through the business area. So the first pillar is called customer seat at the table. And that pillar is assessing to what extent have you engaged with your customers? Do you understand their persona? It's the lean startup and lean product development. Mm-hmm. Are you beginning to run experiments? Are you business outcome driven? Are you clear on the problem you're trying to solve? This is also where we expect you to kind of build some of those lean canvases. And then are you validating and optimizing based on real metrics and results? The lean portfolio management, which is our second pillar, is the ability of the company, or to what extent have they invested in leaning out those large multi-year projects into quarterly deliverables, being more outcome-driven, having what we call a pattern of a visual representation of demand and capacity. So think about a portfolio wall that's a Kanban portfolio wall. So demand and capacity management's huge here, and aligning them with each other. We found a lot of companies are investing too much money in run and grow work, but not in transformational work. So by visualizing their capacity and demand, we're getting a lot of ahas. And of course, the finance, the funding model really needs to change within these organizations. Stable teams is the think of this as team structure and organizational redesign. I think all of us know we were organized today based on silos. Those silos are organized around the old way of working or the systems that we have. And so now we need to be more value stream focused. So keep the teams together, pull the work to the team, don't pull people to the work. Mm-hmm. Move away from projects into more continuous delivery and align people by the value stream. So that's what this one's about. The agile mindset pillar is really around bringing agile, scrum, kanban, all of those to all of the teams beyond IT. So just not just IT, but operations, HR, finance. How can we bring some of the kanban, the visual aspect, the daily stand-ups, the planning, the all of that, the cross-functionality? Can we do some of that beyond IT? And we've, you know, a lot of companies are starting to do that. Scaled agile planning is also here. So regardless of what framework you're using, whether it's scaled agile or lesser DAD or Scrum of Scrum, Enterprise Scrum, basically you need to have some method or your homegrown favorite version. How are you planning across teams? There needs to be maturity around that. We do believe that part of this pillar is also soft skills for teams, facilitation, collaboration skills. The next pillar is called leadership and culture. So a lot of executives are now saying we need to start a journey of leadership transformation. It is not a class anymore. It's not a two-day workshop. It is a journey. And we're calling it the adaptive leadership journey because it's really around learning how to lead in ambiguous times where there's lots of complexity and change and knowing how to still inspire people. You can be disrupted any day. So the journey starts with servant leadership or empowerment. How do you lead agile teams? How do you become more strategic, less tactical? And then adaptive leadership. So that's very important. The sixth pillar is make it stick. So companies that invest in all of this but never build internal coaches or internal change agents are going to see it reverse once the consultants leave. Mm. So all of us as consultants, you being one, I'm one as well, right? We want to know that what we've done in there is going to stick. And it breaks my heart if I ever see a transformation begin to reverse just because we're not there. Mm. So we've become extremely adamant about how can a company make this their DNA. So it's really building internal coaches, having a continuous measurement and growth method, so that continuous growth mindset. Mm-hmm. How do you actually enable that? Because it's not going to be a transformation in a couple of years. It'll be the way you work. Mm. You'll always be changing. Agile talent management is the HR transformation. So this is where how we hire, how we reward, all of these things are in here. And then change management and building communities of practice is also here. Finally, last but not least, is technology transformation and DevOps, which is a good segue to the second radar.
Yeah, so I guess before we talk about the second radar, obviously business agility is the hot word, and I guess where as we're now maturing and crossing the chasm in yes. team-based agility, we're all moving to. Mm-hmm. I mean, actually, just looking at this radar, I mean, even for people who don't particularly use the tool for this, just the
the visualization,
just the visualizations, or even just the topic areas, there are all the important parts of an agile organization going on the transformation. How did you sort of come to the
experience. I mean, we really looked across multiple customers. We interviewed executives. We looked honestly at the last 5 years of transformations and said, where have been the pain points? And we had these big ahas, like one company would come in and say they want to lean out their portfolio. Ooh, but we need to also do customer experience and figure out, make sure our customers sit at the table. Well, that other company would say, well, it's really about leadership right now for us. What we started to realize is a transformation is a complex thing. And if you try to say there's only one thing to do, you're lying to people. It is complex and it's hard. And all of them forgot about the make it stick, by the way. So many of them, you know, we're the ones that added make it stick because we were like, you have to invest. So this came from transformations, from executives, from leaders, and from real work of where have current, and this could change in the future, but today, if you ask me today, I will tell you when I present this to C-level executives, like you said, they don't even have to use the platform. It helps them frame what they're doing and what does it align back to, and why are they doing it, what problem they're trying to solve. And it also gives them a calming effect of, oh my goodness, I felt this was overwhelming, and it is, but I could create sub teams to tackle this. I don't have to have one team trying to do all of it. It'll be impossible. So for many customers, this became a program that has multiple streams where the portfolio team was leaning up portfolio and the CX team was doing the customer experience. And that's the whole purpose of any radar, is to help you frame the problem you're trying to solve, have a healthy conversation, and build a roadmap. Right.
So speaking of the conversation, who's the audience for this radar? Who are you actually collecting the in an organization the data from?
the user, the so who's the team? Every radar needs to have a core team that's going to own the backlog, and it would be the transformation team. Mm-hmm. So you know this is a, it's a pattern now. You don't want to have just one transformation person. You need to have a transformation team, a cross-functional team. So we typically would leverage this, if you go into a consulting engagement, for example, and do a strategy planning session, the people that you would invite in a strategy planning, which usually is the sponsor of the transformation, there's usually the change agents, there's probably the CIO in there, probably somebody from HR, portfolio PMO needs to be in there, your lead architect or your tech, you know, your senior level architects would be in there. It's the people that care about all these elements. You know, somebody from product management should be there. And this is kind of their way of gaining insights into where they are today. And then every 6 months checking if they're making a difference or not. Now, they could send this out to a wider group of people, but really our main target right now is this cross-functional transformation team for them to gain insights into where they want to focus their effort and build a roadmap.
And I can imagine this would open up a lot of widely, I guess, misunderstood areas. I can imagine just in something like talent management, for example, that you might have your people representative in the room who may think they're doing
really awesome.
Yeah, or even just a reasonably okay job, and then you've got the person who's actually trying to hire the next 10 devs and can't find any on the planet, and would think it's very low. So
that's
the power of those conversations must be
That's the power of the visualization of the radar. Is are we aligned? Are we not aligned? Why did you just rate a 10 there, even though it's synonymous, but it will start a conversation that's extremely healthy because it's data driven now, right? We want to have data driven transformations. We don't want to just have emotional, subjective. It's my opinion that we should do. Look, there's 10 people here that said agile talent management is not doing very well. And so let's at least have the conversation around what we think could be done better. That's exactly. Yep.
What trends are you seeing out of this? I mean, are you seeing organizations where these are still very low?
Yes. in one of our customers, I remember we did this during a strategy session. And so it's different. It depends on how much they've already invested. Because you know, I mean, a lot of companies, the agile framework and mindset, like running scrum teams and started standing up, they've done a lot there. But what this gives them the big aha is that's the only place they've invested. Some companies have, you know, brought agile and scrum, but also done stable teams. Cool. Awesome. You guys have invested here, right? Let's celebrate some success there. But it just, it gives them a really interesting insight of where they really are. But one company, it was pretty low. And they all laughed at the end and said, well, we only have one place to go and it's up from here, because it was just, it was at the beginning of their transformation. They had done agile, but you know how it is when you just pilot agile and then you think you've arrived because a couple teams did it well. And then you just organically want it to spread and then it doesn't really very well. That's kind of where they were. It's just they didn't have a strategy for scaling even agile across the team. So it's been, I would say, enlightening. And it helps to align. And then the main objective is, okay, so where do you want to go from here? You've got a quarter. We always consider transformation a quarterly thing. You got the next 3 months. What do you want to do? Let's just pick one or two of these areas and go do something about them.
Excellent. And so the other radar you alluded to earlier is the DevOps.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that one. Again, another hot topic.
Another hot topic. So DevOps aims for... So we actually have two technical radars. We have the DevOps and then we have the technical health radar. The technical health radar is more around at the team level and it's practices. Technical practices, TDD, pairing.
It's very much the XP.
It's the XP, right? But architecture is there too.
Yeah, software craftsmanship.
Yeah, it's software craftsmanship, exactly. So if you want to go deeper, let's just say the team has done the team health radar several times, and they're healthy. They're getting there, right? They're kind of forming, storming. Maybe they're norming. And they've got, you know, what I always say, that they've got their foundation. They have clarity. They have the right leadership team. They got their backlog. They're doing their meetings, whether it's Scrum or Kanban. I mean, they got the foundation. And now they're like, we really need to improve the technical practices. That's the radar I would recommend for them to leverage, is the technical health, and go deeper and wider and do it over two or three quarters and get better intentionally. The DevOps is really meant to be at the program or line of business level, because the questions that are there are beyond the team's control. So you'll see that DevOps goes through what we call building the right product, The second, and actually I'll go through these in a little bit more detail, faster value delivery is that dimension. And this one's around continuous flow and scalable architecture. So reducing batch size, having a delivery pipeline, continuous integration, having feature flags that you turn on and off, staying shippable. So people say that, well, we built everything, but we don't want to ship it because the customer is not ready. Well, the philosophy in DevOps is continue to ship, just turn it off, turn it on when they're ready, right? So it's not even potentially shippable, it's stay shippable. Application-driven infrastructure is here, infrastructure as code, so that you can stand up environments as you'd like, emergent architecture, technical practices, flexibility and scalability. And then the next dimension is called higher quality. So this is where we want production metrics. We want application monitoring, work traceability, resolving issues. There's a lot of software quality, security testing, automated. There's a bunch of things here. But we also added the culture of continuous improvement. So the right side of this radar is very technical, and the left side is more the product and the cultural side, because we wanted you to look at DevOps as a beginning to end. Mm-hmm. So from building the right product all the way to making sure customers are happy. And so this is a great one that I would recommend for the program or the line of business to do right away. I would recommend that managers, architects, test engineers, security folks, operations, release management folks, they all come together in a very cross-functional way to be very open and honest and transparent about where they are today and then build a roadmap. You could definitely have members of sub-teams like testers and developers, because you want to hear the voice of the sub-teams as well. Mm-hmm. The reason we don't do this at the team level, you can mm-hmm. absolutely do this for every single team, but it's going to be very similar. The data will give you very similar results. And the backlog that comes out is way above the team's level. Some of the things that need to be solved here are organizational impediments and obstacles that need to be removed and addressed.
Yeah, and I think it's good here, because I think people often miss in DevOps that it's all about the technical, let's get it out and test it and make it deployable, and forget about the cultural aspects of bringing, bringing both the operations and the developer side together. So there's a high emphasis on that.
Yeah, there's an executive in the Silicon Valley company that mentioned that when he took over the company was high performing, producing software like daily, every minute. But it wasn't the right product. It wasn't in the right market. They were actually being disrupted and not even realizing it. So that's why building the right product and making sure that you really are reaching the right customer and they're extremely engaged and happy should be the end-to-end DevOps view.
It's interesting, just looking at the radar here, you've got things like risk taking, which is very, very interesting as a radar point, and mm-hmm. Amongst the usual things you expect to see in here. Again, where did the detail for this radar come from?
So this came from our partners. We do not claim to be DevOps experts, so we have multiple partners, and that's why we love our partners, because they always provide value that our DevOps expert, this is what they specialize in, is really going into organizations and building what they call DevOps enablement teams. And every company needs their own. It's kind of like the Agile community or practice or the Agile COE that helps all the other teams. You need a DevOps enablement team. And so that's their bread and butter. They're very technical. And so this was lots of collaboration for, I would say, 6 to 8 months of going back and forth, removing, adding. And it's still a work in progress. This is one of our newest radars. And we want people to experiment with it, make it better, and improve on it. But it's not about the theory of DevOps. It's about the practice. What are people actually doing? What's being helpful? And how does a line of business, how does a program get there? And to me, the way I look at it is, if you do have a DevOps enablement team, this will be the measurement for their success. As they go from program to program, team to team, is this improving quarter after quarter, every 6 months?
And like the other one, are you seeing any trends come out of this, like perhaps that they're good on the technical, not so good on the cultural, or?
Not yet. I don't have enough data to be able to say anything intelligent yet about it. What I'll tell you is the teams have welcomed the conversation tremendously. And the big aha that we've gotten is some of the business people or the business analyst didn't know what any of this meant. So it was kind of an interesting joke, but that some of the technical folks said, see, you've taught us Agile and we've had to do Agile for a while, but now you're learning our language. So it was almost like... the technical maturity of the organization raised just by answering these questions, and some of them saying, what does this mean? Mm. What does it mean to have feature flags? What does it mean to have scalable architecture? I don't understand. Should I? I don't want to. And we said, you know, we're not asking you technical questions, but you need to know what these things are, because they're part of going to be your secret sauce for delivering faster. Mm. So even as a product owner, I need you. Yes, I do want you to know what these things are. Mm. So that's the kind of the first aha that I got, is it's starting to form a language of DevOps, because everybody has their own definition. Mm. But a language for talking at least about DevOps that business and IT could talk about.
Yeah, and I can imagine that the conversation is either I didn't know about this, or from a business perspective, or so they can go back and actually say, why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
You know, why have we not considered this?
Yeah.
That's great. So
yeah.
What else is coming down the line for Agility Health? Any?
What's coming up next is we are targeting our executive persona. So what do executives want to see? How can they measure what goals they had for their transformation visually? And look at how far they are from hitting their target. Every executive in a transformation or a leader has number of teams that I need to stand up, maturities that they need to reach, and we're also adding business outcomes. So with Agility Health, you'll have both what we call the team health and maturity ratings, which come from the radars. We have continued to integrate with Rally Jira version 1, and we've got several others coming on board. So we can bring you some of the hard metrics, the delivery health metrics, mm-hmm. which is the second part of the triangle. But we're adding business outcomes. So we want teams to start setting goals for what business outcomes they're trying to achieve. We want them to align their goals to the program business outcome goals. And we just want people to become more business outcome driven. I mean, I think we're just getting a lot of work done, but we don't know how to measure the value of it. So we're starting that conversation at the team level, but also visualizing it at the executive level to see how are those three areas doing and where can they help? Where can they help? We want to move the conversation from everything's about the teams. I think the leadership and the management and the executives have a big role to play. And I'm starting to see hundreds of organizational obstacles that are starting to bubble up. And so that's another big thing for us, is to train leadership and management on removing organizational obstacles and kind of being held accountable for that. So that's the summary of what we're doing.
Well, it's really good to see that you're fostering the collaboration, the communication, the retrospective, and inspect and adapt, all the other words we use to learn. So if people want to know more about the radars, more about Agility Health, where do they go?
AgilityHealthRadar.com.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today, Sarah.
Thanks so much, Greg. Have a wonderful day.
Bye-bye.